Welcome to Comics,
episode 227. This week, we talk about
Thor, Goddess of Thunder.
Visit us at welcometocomics.com. Listen to past episodes, see what we're reading next, send us a message, or find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Tumblr. This episode is supported by listeners like you. Go to patreon.com/welcometocomics.
And now, the cast begins.
Section in the notes, it's called Witty Banter.
Okay.
We'll bullshit about something other than the comic.
Okay.
But the only thing that really happened in the last week was the Deadpool trailer came out. We watched that? Remember on my phone?
Oh, that thing?
Yes, that thing. With the dude that looks weird, the guy that had cancer.
Oh, yeah, the dude that's trying too hard to be funny.
Yes, that was my impression too.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'd watch it, but I probably wouldn't, like, the thing is, I don't know the characters as well as you guys do.
Yeah.
And so, or as well as you do. So I don't really know what he's actually supposed to be. And I don't know what he's like in the comics. And so to me, it'll be just another superhero movie.
Yeah.
Just the same way if I didn't have background on... And I don't, with Arrow and Flash and everything else that we've been watching.
Yeah, all the DC shows.
I don't have any background because I haven't read any of the comics. And so really my reference points come from you when you go into lecture mode.
Right, like for you, Ray Palmer, the Atom, is more or less like Iron Man. Kind of, right?
Kind of. Because
that's one of the complaints people have about him on that show, is it's like Iron Man, basically.
Right, no, you're right.
Whereas in the comics, he's not like that at all. He just has a belt. It's not like a whole suit of armor kind of thing.
Although, frankly, whenever I look at Ray Palmer, I just think of Chuck.
Yeah.
And I keep thinking that he's going to turn bad. So.
Yeah, but he kind of does in the comics. But anyway, the Deadpool thing, like, he's supposed to be, he's normally like a funny comic. Like I was telling you when we just finished watching it. But it's like the fourth wall, like satire, like he pokes fun at comics. So like in this Thor comic.
The fourth wall is when they're talking to the audience, not despite the audience or oblivious of the audience.
Yeah, so the fourth wall is like, it's like a term from theater. It's the idea that like everybody on stage knows that the audience is there, and the audience knows that the actor's on the stage,
mm-hmm.
and they're all real people,
mm-hmm.
but the stage people don't directly address the audience.
Right.
Like, they want you to believe that you're watching these events, you know?
Right.
And if anybody on stage ever turns and addresses the audience directly, that's called breaking the fourth wall. So the stage has three walls,
correct.
And the fourth wall is the one between the stage and the audience.
Okay.
And that fourth wall...
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, that fourth wall sometimes gets broken.
Okay.
So, like, Deadpool will turn and face you on the page and
mm-hmm.
talk to you, the reader.
Mm-hmm.
And when he does that, it's usually kind of funny. But, like, I didn't get any of that in the trailer. I just got really, like, your face looks like grandma had sex with an avocado. Like, just very blue, like, trying too hard humor. Like, the kind of jokes I would have thought I was funny if I was 16.
Which, I mean, is that their target audience?
I don't know. It could be.
I mean, maybe they are trying to appeal to the teenage crowd by putting in a stupid sense of humor like that. I mean, really.
Which actually, that's a good point, because the average age of the comic book reader now is in his 30s.
Because it was mainly the millennials that grew up reading these kinds of comics and being enamored by them and wanting to follow them. So it's kind of a little bit like, and I know this isn't really comics, but it's kind of a little bit like Harry Potter. When the first book came out, all the diehard fans of Harry Potter were 10 and 11 years old themselves.
Yeah.
And they were just about the age of Harry Potter. And that was the age it was written for. And that's why the first couple of books are really childish.
Yeah.
And then as you read on, because it didn't take her, she didn't come out with the book a year.
Yeah.
It took her at least 1 or 2 years to get each book.
Yeah.
So then by the time the last book came out, it had been 15 years since the first book, yeah. or roughly. And suddenly they were written at a more adult level for these people who were in their mid-20s. Mm-hmm. And it just changed completely. And so I'm thinking, maybe, that if they're trying to create their own generation, whatever they're called, Generation Y, I think it's because the butt crack shows out of their pants, and that's why they're called Generation Y.
We're so old, baby.
I think that's what they're called. I think, what is it, Generation X, Millennials, and then Generation Y? Or was it?
I don't know. It's not important.
I just remember seeing this little image that the reason they're called Generation Y is because, you know, their thongs and their butt cracks. Like, because the pants are always falling off.
Yeah.
A little bit like our friend.
Well, and me.
Well, you know, but you don't have that plumber's, whatever, sorry, not podcast material, sorry.
It's fine.
but, you know, it just, maybe they are trying to generate a new.
Funny. Yeah. Well, I mean, like, when I was younger, comics were a buck or two, and now they're $4 or $5 an issue, you know?
Yeah, but when you were younger.
No, I know, and it was like.
For inflation.
Yeah, exactly. There's that stuff, too, but, like, for $5 nowadays, a kid could buy a single issue of a comic book. You could have bought issue one of this Thor, or for $5, you can go to GameSpot. How much is that one?
$3.99.
So for $4, you can buy that. Or you can go to GameSpot and you can buy an NDS cartridge used for $4. You can get a video game that's going to last you how many hours of entertainment. Like, your money can stretch way more entertainment value-wise today than it could then. Like, when I was younger, a video game was $50-$60, and it did not last you more than a couple hours.
Hmm.
Like, Street Fighter's fun with your friends, but playing by yourself, it's not very good.
So then comic books were the cheaper option for entertainment.
Yeah, they were then. And, I mean, like, now I enjoy the fact that comics are being written for an older audience because now things like diversity matter because people who are in their 30s care about whether or not they're represented in the comic and they know that it's important. So, like, if you have 16-year-olds, they might care, but they might not know why it's important. They might not know why it's not interesting for them. They might not be able to articulate that feeling. But as a group of 30-year-olds, I can say it's important that Ms. Marvel is a Middle Eastern woman.
Yeah.
A Muslim Middle Eastern woman. I can say that that's important and know why it's important. And then have it matter for, like, our kid who's going to be mixed race when she grows up.
Okay, by the way, you say Muslim like a really white guy.
Yes, I do.
It's, you know, not really how you pronounce that, but okay.
It's how you pronounce it here in America.
Yep.
Anyway, yeah, the Deadpool, I don't know. I'm not going to go see it.
No?
No, I don't want to go see it.
Maybe we wait for it to come out on, like, Netflix or something.
Yeah. Like, we still haven't even watched Avengers 2.
That's right, huh?
We still haven't watched Ant-Man, which is in theaters right now.
I think there was a RoboCop we were going to watch, wasn't there?
Yeah, but I don't think you want to watch the RoboCop. But, like, there's a bunch of good movies that we haven't seen.
Ant-Man?
Oh, and I hear there's a Fantastic Four movie out. And
I hear it's terrible.
Horrendous.
Yes. Yes. I think we have the same circle of friends on Facebook.
My buddy Nick did, like, a friggin', like, 6-paragraph breakdown on the movie and why it sucked.
Was that him or was it Kenneth?
I don't know. Nick did one. Kenneth complained about it a bit, too.
Okay. It was one of the two.
But it's a long tradition. There has never been a good Fantastic Four movie. They've rebooted the movie franchise for Fantastic Four, like, 4 times. And it's always been terrible. I think
there was an X-Men we didn't see as well.
Oh, yeah. Days of Future Past. Yeah,
we can watch that one, too. Yeah.
Which is on Netflix now. We no longer have a good excuse. We're just behind.
Yes, we
are. But we have things to watch. We're doing the Clone Wars, and that's important.
Star Wars is important.
It's important in our house.
Yes.
And we still haven't finished Korra, which
I know, I know. You and I need to get on that.
Oh, they're coming out with a Korra comic, actually written by the creators of the show.
You know, I really wish they weren't so emo, though.
Who? Korra?
The Korra group.
Yeah.
They're all, like, 18-year-old emo drama kind of...
It's
kind of the reason why I stopped watching Heart of Dixie. There was way too much interpersonal drama.
But, like, okay. Okay. Avatar The Last Airbender is about a kid finding himself and, like, finding his purpose. Like, mm-hmm. When you first see him when he's broken out of the ice, it's because he just ran away from home and he's trying to refuse his responsibility.
But that was season 1.
Right, but that's... No.
He stopped halfway through season 3 in Korra.
But, like, the 4 seasons of Avatar is about him coming into his own and realizing who he is. You get a sense of building culmination. Yeah. Korra's a teenager. The story's way different. Korra starts out from day one, from when she was born. I'm the Avatar. You got to deal with it. Like, she is 100% sure of who she is and what her purpose in life is. And every season, just like when you're a teenager, when you go out into the world, you realize you don't fucking know anything. You think you do, but you don't. And that's Korra's experience. She's like, she's slowly learning how little of the world she knew. Like, when she learns about Avatar Wan and Rava, like, she had no idea where the Avatar power came from, and all of a sudden she knows.
Well, that kind of brings me into the Thor that we've been reading.
Yeah, so let's talk about the comic you just read.
So, yeah, and that in terms of her...
It's like this...
Not knowing what the hell she's doing when she picks up the damn hammer.
So, right now...
And being surprised she can even pick it up.
So, normally after I say, let's talk about this week's comic... So. In the show, I'll edit in a little drop of you saying this week's comic.
Oh. This week's comic. Yeah. Is that where that comes in?
Yeah, that's where that comes in.
Oh, cool.
See, you've been on the show every episode, but this is your first time on here with me.
Like, on here.
Yeah, on here. Oh. Our hundreds of fans can hear you.
Hundreds.
Not live, but yeah. Hey, that's been hundreds now. We've been growing.
How have we?
Yeah, we have.
Alright. Very cool. So, you know, so, with
Lady Thor.
Lady, oh my goodness, I...
She Thor. Lady Thunderstrike. I love that thing with Crusher Creel. We talked about that yesterday when we were reading it, but I love that.
I just, Lady Thunderstrike kind of made me think of, you know, Thunder's eyes. Kind of a little bit, you know. I don't know. That's probably a very anti-feminist way of looking at it.
I'm sorry, but I diverted you. You started talking about how this Thor tried, like, how it was about finding herself in her place.
Yeah, and, you know, it just, for there were some pieces where she's trying to be all superhero-y, and she's really not sure why the hammer
chose her.
Yeah, I was going to say Mjolnir, and then Mjolnir. I was like, well, probably going to butcher that, so...
There's so many... The Lord of the Frost Giants, Grimir, and then the Seat of Odin is just like a jumble of letters that I don't know what the fuck it is. Okay, you remember that one? It was like...
That, yeah.
It was like, Hjulfrinninjar.
And I was like, what?
Like, okay, Bifrost, Mjolnir, Odinson, I got those. Asgard, got it. Hjulfrinninjar.
Yeah, it's like, how are you not supposed to pronounce half of this stuff? First of all, it feels like they took a bunch of letters and just threw them on the wall and made a word out of whatever random one stuff.
Yes. It gets worse, though. As somebody who's translated Old Norse, I can assure you, it gets worse.
These are real words?
Yes, this is what that language looks like. This is what Old Norse looks like.
How do you pronounce half of this?
I don't. I just looked it up in a dictionary.
I mean... Okay, so first of all, so Lady Thor, right? Yes. So we're coming on this woman who's randomly how did she even know?
That's the thing. That's why I want to know who she is.
But how did she even know that the hammer was there? And how did she? Did I miss that? Like, how did she know
that
it was there? And how did she?
So apparently,
know that she would be able to pick up the hammer.
So I haven't read any Thor leading up to this. Right, but in the beginning, it kind of gives you, the first page gives you the breakdown of how we got on the moon, you know? And, it, like, there was a thing, like, Nick Fury whispered something in his ear and he couldn't pick up the hammer.
And he's been sitting by his hammer for a while.
He couldn't pick it up, but, like, that whole thing. So maybe she was part of S.H.I.E.L.D. and she ended up there? Maybe she's, like, some kind of S.H.I.E.L.D. agent person? That's what I'm thinking. At first, you thought it was the mom, right? And I thought it might be Sif. Lady Sif.
Right.
But they made it in issue 5 or something. They made clear that it was neither of those people.
Right.
Because when she kissed Thor, and Thor was like, I certainly hope you're not my mother.
Right.
There was that moment. And then he stupidly goes up. We can talk about that later with Sif.
Right.
But, like, those were our first two guesses. But I think she might be a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent of some kind. Because she says stuff like when she gets the hammer and she wants to fly. She says, like, okay, now how does Thor do this? He just kind of whips it around your heart and throws it and hangs on.
Right.
So she's seen it up close.
So she's obviously seen it with a certain level of...
Yeah, she's seen Thor in person.
Yeah. So, but you know, when she shows up on the moon, and she's standing there, and her first words are, there must always be a Thor.
Yeah.
And she grabs the hammer, and then suddenly the hammer does all this magic-y thing.
Yeah. Lights and, up and has the text.
Right.
Whoever hold this hammer, she be worthy. Does it say she on that?
Yeah, thing? It actually says,
does it say she? That's cool.
It actually...
It's like a new S letter on there.
Right.
And it lights up.
That's it's neat. Funny because in the previous frame, it says he.
Oh.
And then as she picks it up, it says it changes. The mailer cool. knows.
It knows it's a woman.
The mailer seems to know it's a woman. And he actually didn't notice that before, which is kind of cool. And she's able to pick it up. And then suddenly, she's got a mask on. And in the previous frames, she doesn't.
Well, you don't see her in any of the previous frames.
But you can tell that there isn't really a mask on her face.
Well, the mask only goes down to, like, her nose.
No, but
it covers her nose. Yeah, you're right. Okay. So Mjolnir's giving her... She said something like that, too. Like, the mask. I guess that's a good idea.
Yeah.
She says that in issue 2 or something.
But she doesn't know how it suddenly got on her. So did she, like, suddenly... She's standing there, and she picks up the hammer, and it does magic-y things, and... Suddenly she's dressed in armor?
Well, okay.
Is it kind of like... And then my next question to that is, when she loses the hammer in that vault, and she's losing her strength, she's losing her strength, but she says something to the effect of, I feel myself changing, I need that hammer.
Yeah.
And so it kind of makes me think of Mario and the mushrooms.
Like the flame, like the flower for the, like, fireballs. And the,
yeah, or like the growing mushrooms,
yeah.
And the, you know.
I think it does change her, not just like her appearance and give her powers, but I think it changes her. Like, you notice in issue 1 when it's her talking, it's in plain font.
Mm-hmm.
And then later on when she's in Thor and she talks, she's in the Asgardian font. Like, the font changes.
They're changing. I didn't even notice that.
So, like, see how the Asgardians talk in a different font?
Oh, like the T's look different?
Yeah, yeah, they're talking like a very serif kind of font. So later on, when she's talking, she talks in that font, but her thoughts are in the regular font.
That's interesting.
So, like, the hammer is translating her thought into Asgardian, like, ha-ha, bravado, like, to sound more like Thor.
Right.
And then I think, like, when she says, okay, time to say something badass here, and then she comes up with something badass. I don't remember exactly what the line is. I don't know, like, are you hungry for more or something like that?
Right.
When she's talking to the Frost Giants. Like, I think that's the hammer talking through her. Kind of. Like, the hammer is exerting a lot of influence on her personality, too.
The other piece of it I thought was kind of cool was when the hammer was flying around and completely decimating the Frost Giants.
Yeah, she just, like, throws it and it flies all over the room.
And when Thor comes into the picture and he's like, Mjolnir, you never did that for me.
No, it was so sad. I was like, oh, poor Thor, you're having such a bad week. You can't pick up the hammer. Your fucking arm gets cut off. You get left for dead. You find out somebody has your hammer and picks it up. You're like, oh, fuck that. And you go track her down, and she's fucking better at it than you.
And the hammer's, like, treating her a hell of a lot better than it ever treated you.
What about better? Maybe it's more just different.
So, well, the hammer is making her more badass. I don't know if it's making her more badass or if it's...
Well, we don't know either because we don't know who she is. She might have already been a badass.
Well, making her more badass than Thor himself.
Yeah.
The original Thor. Or if her badassery manifests in this certain way. Versus Thor's badassery. Like, Thor is commanding.
Yeah.
He's big. And he's godlike, right? Because, he's a god.
Yeah.
And he's got this...
You're just thinking about Chris Hemsworth's chest, aren't you?
Oh, yeah. I'm just thinking of this, like, handsome... I was absolutely thinking of the actor... but, you know, he's got this, and I'm sorry, did the drool give it away?
Yes, a little bit.
Okay.
It's okay, I still love you.
Well, I love you too.
You can have a waifu too.
Well, thank you. but, you know, it just, frankly, he has this commanding sense. And even in the comic, the way he's drawn, he's...
He's Thor, Odin's son. He's yeah. Prince of Asgard.
Yeah, and...
Prince of the Realm Eternal.
There you go.
Yeah.
I mean, and he's... I feel like... She's not a god. She's not... She's a common person. Is the sense I'm getting.
Yeah, like Thor has swagger because he's Thor Odinson. Like, it's part of him.
Yeah.
When she does the swagger stuff, which he does really well in places, that, I think, is more coming from the hammer. Like, her trying to be Thor, and not necessarily from her. And I think as we read more, it'll be more her. Like, I think she'll grow into the role more. But I do agree. I don't think she has that. For me, it's the swagger. But, like, she thinks, okay, I have to say something badass. Thor wouldn't think, I have to say something badass.
He would just,
I'm Thor. I say a badass thing here. It's just what I do.
Right.
Like, that just happens.
But is that because of years of having the hammer?
I don't know. That's...
Could that be because of...
The hammer's got swagger? Doesn't matter who's carrying it? I don't know.
I mean, when he... So, here's my other question, then. When Thor, without his hammer... And I don't know if I didn't notice this because I didn't...
When he has Yarnbjorn?
No. When he has... Yeah, I don't even know how to say that.
Yeah, Yarnbjorn. Yeah.
I'm not going to try. I can barely get Mjolnir. I'm not even doing that right. But when he says, oh, Mjolnir, you never did that for me, I want to go back and look at that font and be like, is that...
Oh, no, he always talks in that font. That's the font of Asgardians. They all talk in that font.
I was just wondering, like, when he has the hammer, is it different?
No, he always... That's because he's born Asgardian.
Okay.
So he's still a god.
Right.
Regardless of whether or not he has Mjolnir, he's still a god. And he will still live until the end of days. He will live until Ragnarok. He's destined to.
Right.
I mean, he might die, but he will be reborn. He's destined to live until... until Ragnarok, until the end of time.
Okay.
So, he'll be fine. This woman that's holding Mjolnir, if she lets down and turns mortal again, she will not live until the end of time. And I think that's what Freya talks about at the end. Like, look, realize that you are not Thor Odinson, but you will always have been Thor, and you will always be part of this hammer, and you will be part of this legacy, and there's weight and importance to that, and you need to give it respect.
I kind of liked that girl power conversation that Freya had with female Thor.
Yeah.
She was there, and she was there to give her warning, but she was also there to give her blessing.
Yeah.
But also, hey, heads up.
Yeah.
This is coming your way.
Yeah. I really like Freya in this.
I thought that was kind of cool. I also thought it was kind of cool that she took shit in her own hands, took the army, and went down to Midgard to defend it. Regardless of the fact that she got...
Owned pretty well.
Yeah. She got frozen into icicles.
It's because they didn't have Mjolnir.
Yeah. But, I mean, coming back to the... I kind of want to jump back to... You know, jump back to Roxxon.
Oh, yeah. So you asked me before we started recording.
Right.
If I knew what Roxxon was.
Right. And that, to be honest, I had no clue. Because I don't have a background with comics, and I don't know. And so the first bits of the first part of it when that ship is under the water, and I'm trying to figure out what that ship is doing there. I'm trying to figure out who these people are. And they've got this underwater, it's obviously some kind of science lab underwater. They're looking for something. I don't know what it is that they're looking for. And suddenly they see these mountains that are moving. Or, like, their sonar thing finds things that are moving.
It looks like a mountain, but it's moving, yeah.
Right. And it takes me a while to figure out that there's actually frost giants down there.
Yeah. It took me a while, too. That wasn't I don't think you were supposed to know that right away.
But how did but this is Earth, so Midgard, so how, like, isn't the water too warm for the frost giants? Wouldn't they just melt?
Well, they've been here before. In Norse mythology, the Ice Age was an invasion of frost giants.
Okay.
So, like, in Norse mythology, they've been here before, and they have a portal to get here the same way that the Asgardians do. The Asgardians can take the Bifrost and come to Earth. And they can use the frost giants can use magic and portals to get here as well, but we are a protected realm of Asgard, so they don't come here because that means war with Asgard.
And then it took me a while to also figure out who Malekith?
Malekith.
Malekith?
You've seen him before in Thor 2. He was the main villain in Thor 2. We need to watch that one again.
Now
that you have more context.
Yeah, he's dark elf.
So there's all of the...
Okay, I'm sorry. I don't know if I'm being PC or not. Is he a black elf or a dark
No, he's
elf?
He's a dark elf.
Okay.
So there's the nine realms, right? One of them is Asgard.
I thought there were 10.
No, the nine realms. I think it's nine realms.
I thought there were 10. Because at some point in the comic, Thor was like, I am the something-something of the 10 realms.
I don't know. It might be 10. I know in mythology it's nine realms. In the comic, they might have invented a new realm or whatever.
Okay, all right.
Whatever, but one of the realms is Jotunheim, which is where the frost giants are from. One is Midgard. One is Asgard, which is the realm eternal.
Right.
That's the first and the last realm that will always be in existence. And then there's Svartalheim, which is the realm of the elves and of dark magic. And Malekith is the elected leader of the dark elves. So he's like the most badass magician possible because he's the most magic magician of the realm of magicians.
The most magic magician?
Yes.
Okay.
The most magic magician.
Okay. And he seems a little...
He's a bit like Loki, but he can back it up. Loki's a trickster, and he'll trick you and lie to you and get you to do things for him. Malekith would rather do that, but if not, he's just perfectly fine cutting off your arm as well.
Okay, and what the fuck? I didn't realize... I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cuss.
No, you can cuss. It's fine. Fuck.
I didn't realize Loki was...
The son of Laufey?
The son of Laufey. And how is he the son of Laufey and not the size of a frost giant? Does the dude just not have good seed?
No. Okay.
How does that work?
This was actually in the first Thor movie, which we also need to watch again.
Yeah, so, I watched Thor all day.
Yeah, Chris Hemsworth. So, the Asgardians and the Frost Giants are at war, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the Asgardians have won because Odin slays Laufey.
Right.
Right? I don't think he slays Laufey in the movie. Anyway, they've won.
I got the gist of that in the comic.
And Odin finds a baby on the battlefield, which happened to be Laufey's son. And Odin knows this. Most of the Frost Giants know this when it happens. Most of the Asgardians don't know it when it happens. And Odin decides to take Loki home. And because Loki is a god of lies and trickery, as he becomes adopted by Odin, he maintains the facade of an Asgardian. So when you think of Loki looking like a human, that's an illusion. That's not Loki's real face. That's an illusion.
So do we ever get to see Loki's real face? Now I'm curious to see what he looks like.
I think at this point he's one of those people that there is no true form. Like, he's lies upon lies upon lies. He has
How did he become the god of lies?
I don't know.
I'd be interested if there was a backstory somewhere.
I don't know that one. I have a book that has the backstory in it if you want to read it. Maybe. It's in one of the Norse sagas.
Maybe. That would be interesting. Because it took me a while to digest that. But why isn't he even... Teams blue.
Yeah, the Norse sagas are huge. I think the Norse sagas have more mythology to them than the Greek epics, and maybe even rivaling the Indian mythology.
Yeah.
Maybe, I don't know. The Indian mythology is one of the richest in the world.
It's also the oldest.
Yes.
One of the oldest, yeah. But, you know, it just...
So, like, this thing with Roxxon. So Roxxon's an energy company that's been around since, I think, the 60s in the comics.
But see, you knew that.
Right, so...
And I didn't know that, and I didn't know what Roxxon was. And then I was like, who the hell is this dude why does he have things on his head And what do you mean he's a Minotaur?
So, okay.
And I'm having all of these thoughts, and I'm like, okay, something's not connecting.
So when you were reading this, because this is important too, right? Like, comic books are generally like an in-crowd kind of a thing. If you read comics, then you've read comics and you know things in comics,
mm-hmm.
kind of a thing. And the hardest thing for most comic book companies right now is bringing in new readers. And this Lady Thunderstrike, is a thing that a lot of people say they did to bring in new readers. So as a new reader, you've never read a Thor comic before.
Mm-mm.
Even though I think I have some of the best Thor comics ever written, the Walt Simonson one.
Yeah, but I'm not a comic person.
Yeah.
I barely know how to follow the panels.
Yeah, so for you, when this stuff came up, did it take you out of the story? Like,
it did.
For me, a big part of reading comics is being immersed. So, like, break it for you when you're like, what the fuck? What was your reaction when you came across it?
I figured out that there were frost giants in the, you know, the first few pages when I saw the blue hands and the blue feet.
Yeah.
I figured out that it had something to do with frost giants.
Okay.
I could not figure out why they were there because there was too much going on. There was too much scientific blah-bitty-blah.
Yeah. It's like techno-babble. I don't think you really need to...
Yeah, but, you know, when you're like me and you don't really know what's important, if there's text there, yeah. then you're going to want to read it. And so, yeah. initially I was like, what is this bullshit, and where is the Thor piece? And where's Thor? And then I saw these frost giants, and I was like, wait, where are they? And there's this whole page of frost giants coming to attack the little undersea bubble thing.
Yeah.
And I was kind of like...
And then later on, too, we go to the rocks on Floating Island, which isn't floating because they built that ice bridge up to it.
Right, and so then I was really confused as to why it was floating.
Because it's normally like... It's normally honestly? Like a... No, you know how like S.H.I.E.L.D. has their helicarriers?
Yeah.
So Roxxon Island it's got thrusters all along the bottom side of the island.
Oh, so that's what the red things are?
Yeah, so normally it flies in the air, kind of. Like a half orbit kind of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's up in the air, and that's how they protect their assets, is that it's really, really hard to invade.
And to be honest, though, now that I've read all 5 issues, coming back to issue 1, more things are making sense.
Yeah.
Like, but not having read all 5 issues, being new to this comic, it was hard for me to follow what was going on and to try and figure out what's important.
So when did you...
And sometimes the artwork gives me a headache.
Oh, so, okay.
Because it's too busy.
So when did you find your groove? Like, when did you just kind of... Because... Right, like, in the beginning, even me too, like, I don't know what Thor's doing on the moon, I don't know about this whisper or anything, so for, like, the first half of issue 1, I'm kind of just like, alright, whatever, we're setting up premise, I'm just going to go through, and
right.
what's important, what will have been important, I will find out later, and what's not important, I will just forget, and I just kind of plow through. So, like, at what point did you just kind of commit and kind of go, okay, I guess I'm just reading this, whatever, let's just...
And
was it when I said, we're doing a podcast on this, damn it, you have to read it?
no, but it was, you know, at some point, it got interesting when I realized Thor couldn't pick up his hammer.
Okay.
So the first piece of it was kind of like, okay, whatever. If it had started here and then jumped to Roxxon under the sea stuff, that might have... for me, been a better segue.
Okay.
Because then I would have realized that Thor, without his hammer, without being able to access his hammer, leaves Asgard and Midgard
pretty damn vulnerable.
Right.
Yeah.
And then to see the frost giants come up on Earth.
Then you'll understand how big of a deal
that would have made a better connection in my head.
Yeah.
But, you know, at some point, I just figured that I'm just going to deal with this the same way I deal with all my other books. Like, Harry Potter, I've read every single book 20 times a piece. But when you first get that book, you're just reading it for the story. You're not reading the details.
Yeah.
You're not reading like the finer points, the finer, yeah, the smaller themes and the smaller side stories.
You're just plumbing through.
You're just plowing right through to get the story and get what the main gist is.
Yeah.
What happened in the main storyline. And so at some point in this first issue, I was like, okay, forget the artwork. If I can't figure out the artwork and I can't figure out the panels, I'm just going to read whatever I can and then get the basic idea. And then now that I've gotten the basic idea and I've come back to issue one, more things are making sense. And the artwork is also looking a little clearer.
Hmm.
And it might just be because I have an unpracticed eye.
Yeah, it could be that too.
And it could also be the artist's style. It's, you know, there are, like, the fight scenes with the Frost Giants, where they're in Roxxon, and that those, and especially like trying to figure out what the hell that hammer is doing with it flying around.
It's like some of the action stuff is hard for you to follow.
Yeah.
Because there's generally a handful of ways that you can talk about comic book art, and we're going to do an episode, I think, in about a month. And we're going to kind of go over the basics of how to judge and look at comic book art. And there's four or five different things I usually look at. One of them is just called acting. And it's the ability for you in your mind and how you can, like, panel to panel, being able to place characters in a room, right? So, like, mm-hmm. if you're imagining the throne, or if you're reading a scene in the throne room of Asgard, do people move through the throne room in a progression that seems to make sense? Do they seem to make sense, or is it kind of like jumping around, mm-hmm. right? The other one is facial work. Like, a big part of comics is that I don't have to tell you in the text, Thor felt really hurt. Thor can just get a sad puppy face. Right. But if the artist sucks and the face is wrong, then it doesn't get that across, right? And then another thing that's really important is action, movement. And if it's hard to follow an action scene, that breaks it up for you just as much as anything else.
Like, and that's what happened to me in the thing. Like, these, even in issue one, the action scene between Malekith and Thor, I couldn't figure out whether he actually had his hand cut off or whether he was actually dead.
Yeah, I think he was left for dead.
Yeah, so I saw it, and the thing is, I didn't realize his hand was cut off until...
Until you see Malekith walking around with it along. That was kind of...
Didn't even see that. I missed you that. Didn't,
oh, Malekith had it, like, over his shoulder in, like, issue 3 or something when he comes back. He's walking around with it over his arm. When in issue 4...
And
when
he burns the arm.
Yeah, because he's...
That I saw.
He's just walking around chilling with the arm slung over his shoulder.
But this...
Not in the first issue, though, where we're looking over.
No, I'm looking at the first issue, because I'm looking for...
For when he cuts the arm off? Does that happen in issue 1 or issue 2?
It happens in issue 1.
In issue 1?
Because he gets into a fight with Malekith. He says, you have no more need for so many cumbersome arms.
Yeah.
And then...
Yeah, and then he chops it off, and then you can see him...
Yeah, I
you
see, can see his the arm kind there.
Of
floating,
and then you see him kind of lost in the bloody sea.
Correct. And yeah. That bloody sea, I'm looking at it, and I'm still, like, it's hard for me to figure it out. And so when he said we've seen the last of Thor, if that hadn't been there, I wouldn't have, like, that made me go back to the previous panels to see what does he mean by last of Thor. And then I see a hand. And then I had to kind of track back and say, is that Thor's armor? And then I had to look back to see if I could find an image of Thor's hand. So you were like flipping
back and forth through the panels to figure out what was going on.
Yeah, and then I realized that, yeah, it looks like when Thor's wielding stuff, it looks like he does have armor right here. Like, with his, on his hand. So that's how I figured out that was Thor's hand on the bottom of the ocean.
That's true, because you could have, I mean, if, well...
I didn't know whose hand that was.
Yeah, I think you're kind of supposed to infer from Malekith's comment that he just cut off the arm. But that's the thing.
But I didn't...
They could have used, like, maybe one more panel to show you Malekith cutting through the arm kind of a thing.
Right, and, like, you've no use for the arms... I'm looking at that panel right now, but I have no memory of reading it earlier.
Okay.
And that might have been because I was plowing through
yeah.
and not actually looking at the art in tandem with the story. And because I was just plowing through for the story.
So actually, and the other thing I should let you know too, while we're talking about art, and I'll have to remember to put this in the episode later, is usually in a comic book, there's one author who works on the story. Let me flip through and find this. But there's usually four or five different artists. Usually there's three or four, and on this one there's only three. So there's Russer Dollerman, who's the artist credit, mm-hmm. which means he's probably the penciler and the inker.
Okay.
Matthew Wilson, who's the color artist. And then VC's Joe Sabino is the letterer and production. So in a lot of comics there will be four. There will be somebody who will draw the page in pencil, right, just do the normal outline.
Okay.
And he'll hand it off to an inker who will then go over the outline with a pen and add in the shadow. Okay. Just whatever's flat and black, he'll add in.
Okay.
Then the colorist will go in and add color details.
Mm-hmm.
When I say details, I mean add in all of the color from okay. start to finish. And then the letterer will go in. The letterer decides where the text bubbles go, what font things are in, kind of the placement. So, like, in the scenes where Odin has the two crows, it's mm-hmm. the letterer's job to make the two of them go back and forth and read in a way that makes sense.
Right.
And kind of, so you can read the back and forth and get what's going on.
Okay.
And I really like the pencil work in this, and I like the inking as well. But I also agree the color. I mean, coloring with Asgardians, Asgard is bright and colorful. Like, even in the movies, it's the golden realm,
mm-hmm.
you know? So I kind of think the coloring does need to be really bright. But then when there's action scenes with the frost giants, especially frost giants in, like, a frost building, it's just five shades of blue.
Things which got, is frustrating.
Things got, like, it got lost for me. Like, the paneling, like, going panel to panel, things kind of made sense. But then there was one, I think when they were in Roxxon, the floating island, when it was mm-hmm. kind of frozen, there was, like, half of the room that was frozen, and then there was a frost giant who, like, was crumbling.
Yeah.
So there were, like, pieces of ice falling, and then a frost giant standing over here, and it's just, like, there's five shades of blue, and I don't know what the fuck
and with
is going
the frost giants
all
and
I,
those
all
scenes.
I can tell is that there's blue, 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 Thor's red cape.
Right.
And that's it.
With the frost giants in those scenes, it got hard to determine how many there were, and mm-hmm. how many were in pieces, and, like, it, when they were in pieces, were they dead? When pieces of...
I think so. I think that's like, what they do that, when they die.
So they're just made out of ice?
Apparently? I don't know.
Like, are they... So, but how are they alive?
I don't know the details.
And so that's the thing. So all of these questions as I'm reading through this, I'm going
questions make more questions.
Yeah, like it, how does a frost giant work? Does he have blood? Is he just made out of an inanimate ice? Is he an animated ice
like
statue?
Ice golem? I don't think so. I think they're born and stuff. Although I've never seen a female giant, so I don't know about frost giant reproduction.
I know that when they are children,
yeah, they talk
they
about
are...
the children and the storm and throwing them out in the storm.
Right,
yeah.
right. So there's obviously some kind of rite of passage, and there's obviously some kind of yeah. growth process. But it just gave me more questions. Like, and when they're spitting at her, they're spitting.
Because their natural body temperature is so low that
they're spitting
spit
ice
freezes.
Balls.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then it's like, okay, so you're spitting ice balls, and then I'm standing there thinking, ew. Like, you're spitting at her, and there's these, like, she's got, like, glass frozen bullets of saliva coming onto her, and I just be like, ew, guys, like, stop, you know?
Yeah. But if you had me older, you would have the swagger to fuck them up for it. You know what I did like about the art with the frost giants in this? I don't know about the coloring work as much with the frost giants, but whenever the frost giants are drawn, they're bigger than the panel that they're in.
Yeah.
Like, you never see, in a piece of a page, you never see a whole frost giant.
Unless
they're, like, crowding around. Unless you get, like, the full page or two-page spread.
Right.
And they give you this, because then you turn the page, and you get this two-page thing, and it's this big scene, and in this big scene, then you have enough room to throw a frost giant. But panel to panel in the fighting, to give you a sense of how big they are, they're always, like, crowded along the edges. And
that's what made it harder for me.
It's a cool effect in that it really makes them, it really gets across that larger than larger than can even be drawn feeling.
Right.
But you're right. It makes action harder to move around.
Because I don't know whose hand is what. And I didn't even know, like, the names of those Frostrands. And I didn't realize that...
Skarnbjorn and...
The leader dude, Skyrim dude, or whatever his name was. Not Skyrim, I'm probably not saying it right.
Well, Skyrim's a video game.
Yeah, whatever.
I think it was Skrymir.
Yeah, that one.
Skrymir.
Yeah.
Skrymir.
That one. the leader dude, did he die? I thought he died. I thought she killed him.
Yeah.
And then the last dude was like, well, I guess it's up to me now, because leader dude is dead, and this other dude is dead, and so I'm going to go with my backstabby knife. I'm going to go and stab her in the back. And I was like, really?
That's funny. I'm glad I brought my backstabbing knife. And she just throws it through his head.
Oh, yeah, no, the door, his mouth.
The door opens. She manages to pry the door open just enough for the hammer to fly through, because it's been banging on the door, and it flies through his head.
Right. Yeah. It flies into his mouth, and out of the back of his head, he's like, what?
what was your favorite scene in this? I mean, all five of them. Like, what was your favorite thing? Because that was a good moment, but I know there's better moments in here.
I thought towards the end, when I realized that Minotaur dude hadn't...
That it was a backup skull?
Yeah, that there was a...
Yeah, that oh shit kind of a moment?
Yeah. And then that made me want to...
Give me realms.
And that made me want to say, holy shit, why can't I read more issues right now?
Well, there are more issues. We can go grab them. I have more.
No. And I was like, no, but I want them now. I want to know what happens next. I know, you asked me. I want to know what happens next. And then also the scene where Thor and Thoris they finally stop fighting each other, and he says, well, shit, I guess you are worthy.
Okay. Yeah, and he says, like, the hammer sings for you the way it never has for me, or something like that. And he says, you're Thor. I'm no longer Thor. I'm Odin's son.
That...
But I'm not Thor.
Made me weirdly proud.
No,
like Thor.
And I've said on this podcast before, like, and I think you kind of know this, in a lot of shows and things, like, the moments I connect with the most are when people, like, get the respect they deserve.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Like, one of the scenes that almost always makes me cry is fucking Lord of the Rings, the last movie,
mm-hmm.
when the hobbits have gotten rid of the ring and they're in Gondor on the top, that mm-hmm. white, like, Minas Tirith city.
Mm-hmm.
And they're crowning Aragorn king, right? Mm-hmm. And they're in the back, kind of, on this little podium, and they're bowing.
Mm-hmm.
And Aragorn stops the procession, walks over to them, and says, no, 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 you four bow to no one. And he bows to them, and then fucking everybody bows to them. Mm-hmm. And then it pans out, and you see the whole city bowing to the hobbits. And I'm like, oh my god, that's so cool. Like, those moments, I'm welling up a little bit as I tell it. Like, I love those moments. So that was one of my favorites in this one, too. Like,
when he's like, you know, okay, like, all right, we can do this together.
Like the hammer has deemed, like, what is he also says, like, the hammer trusts you, and I trust the hammer, so the hammer made a right call. Fine. The hammer deemed you worthy, and not me right now, so that's, you're obviously not a thief.
And I liked that when he went back, he was standing up to her, to Odin.
Yeah.
Standing up for her to Odin.
Yeah, fucking Odin, and this does not come off well.
Oh my god.
He's a dickbag.
What the hell? Odin, I thought he was a lot wiser than that. And he's just this warpath.
He's a despot. He's like Freya says, he's a dictator.
But why does he care that the hammer is no longer in his son's hands? Shouldn't he be the first one to say, Thor, if you're not worthy, the hammer shouldn't be yours?
That's what he's done in the past. And I think he would have been level-headed, but he came back to too much change.
With Freya
and an All-Mother, and I think Freya instituted, like, a Congress of Worlds to help make decisions that he never had, because, like, later on he's like, another thing I gotta get rid of.
Right.
You know? And I think there had been too many changes for him to be comfortable, and I think he's just overreacting to all the changes and just wants everything to clamp down. And doesn't realize. He's
calling her a thief.
Yeah, because there have been other people who have picked up the hammer and he hasn't reacted like this. Oh, like, okay. I was telling about Beta Ray Bill had done it, that alien mm-hmm. Storm from the X-Men has picked it up before. Okay. She's worthy because she's also a wielder of lightning. Okay. And in some countries in Africa, she's regarded as a goddess of thunder. Hmm. So for her, like, it's a natural extension of her to be able to wield the hammer.
Okay.
So the hammer deems her worthy. And Odin doesn't have a problem with those two. So I think in this, it's just that overreaction.
Okay, I'm sorry I'm being a little weird, but your baby is moving quite a bit inside me at the moment.
It's okay. She loves comics, too.
She apparently does, and she's apparently hearing me talk a lot.
I love you.
So, yeah. So, I love you.
So, I had two favorite moments in this,
too. Feels weird.
I had two favorite moments in this, too. One of my favorites was when the Asgardians are getting defrosted after mm-hmm. the Frost Giants are driven back, and Thor finds Freya, his mom, and he's like,
"What are you doing here?"
He's like, "You fucking invaded Midgard, even though Odin told you not to." And she's like, "Fuck yeah, it's Midgard. We're sworn to protect them. Of course I went to fucking war." And he's like, "Mother, I didn't think I could possibly love you more." I was like, "Oh, you two are so great." And it's like you get like his stubbornness comes from his mother and his father, but in different ways.
Mm.
You know, it's great to see how Thor is his parents' children.
Because
mm-hmm. you just see Thor being Thor, and you're like, this guy's just a baller. He's just cool and mm-hmm. awesome. And then you realize, oh no, his mom's a baller too.
Right. Yeah, she's pretty
she's badass.
What was the other one?
My other favorite moment was when he's in the bar getting drunk with Sif. Right? And he's so not smooth. Like, yeah, he's a baller, but they've been off and on lovers for so long, she sees all of his bullshit. She doesn't buy any of the swagger. She knows it's all just bluffing.
I was cringing because he was crashing and burning.
Oh, yeah. But then my favorite part of that scene is when she crashes out and he pulls up the list. And he's got like 10 people on it and he's scratching them off. And I'm like, Thor, this is not how you do this. Thor, this is not how you find out
who else is on that list.
Well, his mom was on it, scratched out.
Did you see that at the bottom? Loki's on that list?
Oh, yeah. Could be Loki. No, because the hammer wouldn't deem him worthy. The hammer would know.
So why does he think it might be Loki?
Because it's Thor. He probably, like, okay.
It makes him seem like a dunderhead.
Yes. Thor is strong. Thor is powerful. Thor has swagger. Thor has all these things. I don't think Thor has a lot of intelligence.
He's not very bright.
No, and even think about the movie, right? When they're like, you know, it's 40 miles east. Thor just stands up and walks that way and just, like, walks through traffic and, like, whatevs. And part of that is, you know, he's a god. What does he care about a car? But also it's like he takes not even a second to think about place, appropriateness, where he is, like.
You just say whatever.
Kind of some of these things are beneath them, but kind of it, he's an idiot. Like, it's also beneath Loki, but Loki knows setting and place. Even fucking Odin gets it from time to time.
I saw Loki's name on there, and I was like, really?
Hold on, let me grab this up. Who else is on this list?
There were a lot of names I didn't recognize.
I would laugh my ass off if Volstagg was on the list.
No, I don't think he was.
Where's the list? Okay. So Freya is crossed out.
Right.
Hildegard, who's one of the Hildegard's one of the Valkyries. Brunhilde is another Valkyrie. Idun, I don't know. Taryn, I don't know. Jane Foster, the scientist woman.
Okay.
His girlfriend.
Okay.
His
non-godly girlfriend.
Yeah. Roz Solomon. I don't know who Roz Solomon is.
Either.
Lorelei. Oh, Lorelei sounds so familiar. Who's Lorelei? That might be the Enchantress. Another Asgardian. Lorelei, I think Lorelei is an Asgardian. Amora, I don't know. And then he has Sif with a question mark. Which, it's a no. It's totally a no. But he has a question mark still, because he's not that smart. Carnilla, Kelda, Tannen Nihil, Angela, and Loki. I don't know a couple of those. I mean, it can't be Jane Foster, though. Because she was whoever it is was able to walk on the moon.
How did she get to the moon if it was Jane Foster?
A, how do you get to the moon? And B, she was walking around the moon without
that's my other thing. How the fuck are these people walking around the moon without any breathing apparatus?
Well, okay, the Asgardians are gods. They don't need them. They're gods.
They're all gods.
Yeah.
Even that Volstagg dude.
every last one of them is gods. Okay. Even when you when you're in this bar, the barkeep is a god. Because it's a barkeep in Asgard.
Why are there so many gods?
Because it's Asgard. There's just gods upon gods.
It's like land of the gods.
Yes, kind of.
So
if you if you're
reproduce
great,
and create more gods.
If you're a great enough warrior, you can enter Valhalla, and if you're an even better warrior, you can go to Asgard and become a god.
So they're all warriors.
Some of them are warriors. Some of them are born eternal, like Thor, born from gods, was a god, came upon existence as a god, and some of them earned godhood. So even the bartender here is a god, right?
Okay.
So that's why they can do it. But so that's why it's kind of like, okay, she might not be Asgardian, because she doesn't have the Asgardian.
She can breathe on there.
But she doesn't have the Asgardian font when it's just her. So I don't think she's from Asgard.
They all have Asgardian
font? Yeah, see, they all have Asgard font. So that's how you can tell from the voice whether or not they're Asgardian.
But how is she breathing?
Whoever it is somebody who can breathe on the moon. So I don't think it could be Jane Foster or any of the other, like, mortal people. I don't think that's possible. I don't know. But yeah,
who else is there, though? I mean,
who else is there that could do it? That could breathe on the moon?
Yeah. Is there any? But you said that there were like 9 realms, right? Could it be someone from another realm?
Yeah, it could be somebody from Earth. It could be like.
But if it's somebody from Earth, they have to be able to breathe on the moon.
Yeah, but it could be like Carol Danvers, who's Ms. Marvel, Captain Marvel.
She can't breathe on the moon, though.
Yes, she can. She doesn't need to breathe in outer space.
I didn't know that.
She can absorb energy. Invisible Woman.
Wonder Woman?
Well, Wonder Woman's in DC. It's a different universe.
Different. Sorry. I'm sorry, and your wife, and I don't know that.
No, Wonder Woman can, because likewise, she's also a goddess. But, like, there's lots of different people that could.
And so the things I don't know enough.
Yeah, I think it's another thing, but I honestly, the hammer, when her power is fading, her lip color changed. Her hair color didn't change, but that might have been the next step.
I didn't notice that.
So, like, I get the feeling that the hammer is concealing her with more than just the mask. So, for me, like,
she doesn't even...
Yeah, in the armor. Like, she doesn't even have to be blonde, you know? I think she just kind of has to be this body shape, which is any woman in comics.
Yeah.
This body shape is like a universal comic book body shape.
She might not even be that body shape.
You're right. She might not be. It might be from the hammer. Like, this thing. I think the hammer is transformed.
But she might
her.
Say something if it was.
Yeah.
Probably. I mean, I can't imagine a woman suddenly, like, being normal. And I can't imagine any woman going from, like, a size 12 upwards to a size, a svelte, sexy size 0 or 2.
Or even just.
And not making a comment like, well, hey, I should hold that hammer more often because. I just lost a lot of weight.
Or
whatever.
Or even just, like, going from, I don't know, like, a scrawny girl in front of a computer to buff and cut.
Yeah.
You know, like, let alone, like, body size, like, also level of fitness, all that
kind
of stuff.
And I can't imagine a single woman who wouldn't be like, hey.
Yeah. Have some comment about it. Because we get, which is actually, nowadays, in comics, it's really, really rare to have thought bubbles.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the time, it's just kind of in a box. And you can tell it's their thoughts. I really like the way that they intertwine, like, the thought bubbles and what she says aloud. That way you can kind of see what she's thinking versus what she says.
Mm-hmm.
And the order of how that works. Which reminds me, like, the Deadpool comics, part of the shtick in that is that he's insane. And he has multiple personality disorder. So he has 4 different voices that come up. And the text box is a different color depending on what voice it is. And each different voice has its own character.
Uh-huh.
So part of the comedy in Deadpool comic is that you see his four voices arguing with each other, and then you have what he says. And so there's comedy that gets between that. And one of those voices is the one that always addresses the reader directly. So, like, the 3 voices will be arguing in the comic, and one voice will say, well, yeah, but that would make a boring fucking story.
Right.
you know? Like, that would make a boring comic. But that's something that doesn't come across in the trailer. Like, you don't get comedy that way. Anyway.
Back to Thor.
What did you think of the stuff with Crusher Creel? Lady Thor punching the internet. I don't know if this is true, but I think I remember Jason Aaron, the author, saying that we pulled these comments that Crusher Creel says straight from internet sources. Like straight from Twitter or YouTube or like reviews or whatever.
And not knowing that, I remember thinking that these comments seem very real world. They do not seem superhero comic text. Like, they don't seem like they fit in here. So why do they not fit? And it seems like it reminded me of that fourth wall you were talking about.
Yeah.
More like that seemed like it was crossing the fourth wall. And so, you know, just those comments were, they had a, they had a bit of a WTF component to them, where Crusher Creel was probably thinking what everybody else was probably thinking when they saw a female Thor, because they've all known Thor to be big buff dude.
Yeah, I mean, but there's Lady Thor. Thor's been a frog. I don't know. It was a big controversy, but, like, honestly, Thor has been a frog. Loki turned him into a frog, and there were four issues where it was Thor, Frog of Thunder.
Yeah, I think you have that somewhere.
I have it. It's hilarious and great. And it's like, Thor has been an alien. Better a Bill.
Yeah, but nobody Thor knows. Thor has been
Storm.
But nobody knows that necessarily.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure the Frog of Thunder got similar comments.
No, I don't. But this is what gets me: is there are people who don't read the comics, don't know that that was a thing, see Lady Thor on the cover, and get upset about it, and don't even read it. They just get upset that Thor is a woman, and it's like, if you don't read it, why do you care? Like, right. When there's an alternate universe for Marvel where Spider-Man. Peter Parker, I don't remember. I don't know if he died or retired or what, but the Spider-Man after him, Miles Morales, was a black kid, and so, tons of people were super pissed. Like, he's not supposed to be black; he's supposed to be white. And it's like, A, why does it matter? B, you never read or cared anyway.
Right.
Like, there's a Spider Woman, there's a Spider Gwen, there's this woman called Silk now that are all Spider-Man powers. What does it even matter? Especially if you haven't read it and you're not going. I think it's just people being sexist and getting pissed off. Like, here, let me. On Amazon, some of the reviews. Here you go. Jason Aaron, the author. This review says, Jason Aaron is the worst thing to happen to Marvel and now Star Wars. He is agenda-driven, and that is obvious by reading the tripe in this comic, especially his posturing and preaching during the Absorbing Man fight. Posturing and preaching. Huh. Do yourself a favor and buy a collection of a Marvel hero that hasn't been used as a political football. Jason Aaron had a terrible run in his arcs leading up to this, and this is the topping of his comic writer garbage pile. Hopefully he does not destroy Star Wars characters in the Marvel run as he has destroyed Thor. Like,
so destroy Thor? I think that's a bit of but frankly, okay, let me preface by saying we all know that I don't read too many comics. And I don't think that this was necessarily ruined or the storyline was ruined because there was a female Thor in here. I thought it was kind of interesting. And in fact, as a female member of the audience, someone who doesn't necessarily read comics at all, I thought it was kind of cool. I thought it was a little unrealistic, but I thought it was kind of cool.
Yeah.
You know, it just, she's so badass, and
oh yeah, like the moment where she punches Titania's like, I suppose you're gonna punch me hard. She's like, yep.
Yeah, she's super badass. I like her exchange between Titania and herself. I like that she breaks Crusher Creel's jaw. and Crusher Creel's talking with a broken jaw.
Mm-hmm.
And Titania comes in to rescue her husband. I thought it was hilarious that Titania was like,
giving you a pass.
my husband has a wandering eye, so it'll do us good to sit in jail together.
Yeah.
That was a good one. I thought that was kind of funny.
But I think what Titania says in here is just as important as, like, absorbing man getting punched. Like, the big thing in comics is, analogy works in comics, you take an idea, you turn it into a villain, mm-hmm. and then the hero punches the villain, thereby showing you that the thing that the villain represents is wrong. So Crusher Creel represents misogyny here, mm-hmm. and Thor beats the crap out of him, thereby defeating misogyny and showing you that it is evil.
And then there's the woman power solidarity coming on right. top of that.
And the thing that she says is almost important, because here, let me read you another Amazon okay. review. Where is it? Equality Out of Control is the name of the review. The title, sorry. Name her something else. She is not Thor. Thor is a character, not a title. The story is a joke, an attempt to draw more people into comics with telling the longtime loyal fans, who cares? Like, name her something else. No, what's wrong with this being Thor? And she says, like, not Lady Thunderstrike, not She-Thor, not Thorina.
Right.
Like, no.
But the hammer says.
It matters. It matters that this is Thor. Because we have, like, there's a Hulk and She-Hulk, you know? There's Spider-Man and Spider-Woman and Spider-Girl, you know? It's like, most of the time when there's a female version of a character, it's the afterthought, the token, the less than right. version, you know? Like, She-Hulk is not as strong as Hulk. Spider-Woman's not as powerful as Spider-Man.
But the hammer itself says, whosoever holds this hammer, if he or she be worthy, shall possess the power of Thor.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what the hammer says. Yeah. You possess the power of Thor.
I think that's what it has to do. That would then
indicate that Thor is a title.
Yeah. And there is.
Rather than a name.
And there is in comics a Thor girl. There's a little girl out there who's a fan of Thor and has a mini version of Mjolnir, if I'm remembering correctly.
Mm-hmm.
So there is something in comics continuity already like this that is the diminutive female version of Thor. There's also Valkyrie, who's another female Asgardian, who's kind of like Thor. But actually quite a bit different. But, like, it really matters that this is Thor. This isn't Thorina. This isn't some alternate version of Thor. This isn't some alternate reality. Like, this is Thor. The hammer says this is Thor. Thor says this is Thor. She calls herself Thor.
And she says that there must always be a Thor.
Yeah.
And Thor is no longer Thor if the hammer is not responding to him.
Odinson can no longer be Thor without the hammer.
Right.
Yeah.
So, I'm not understanding why...
Why you get comments
people,
like this?
Yeah, people are so pissy about it.
Yeah.
I mean, I get that it's... You know, nobody likes change. I get that people want things to be the way they have been. And I get that something new is threatening. And I get that... I get all of that.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it makes me... think of all the controversy that's happening in the video game world with women.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And
how... And there's a lot of crossover in that fandom. I'm sure a lot of those same people are the ones posting this crap on Amazon.
Right. And so that makes me wonder if that's stuff that's carrying over.
I think it is. I think it's the same. It's the same. It's the computer chair living in their mother's basement misogynist.
I mean, that is the...
That's the nerd stereotype.
Yeah.
And I think for the most part, a lot of people are moving past that in their minds. Like, that stereotype isn't as prevalent about all nerds anymore. But that's still such the stereotype, you know? And then, one last review, and then we can get on to rating it. Marvel's SJW, I don't know, pandering ruins a character in Quest for Equality. This is my favorite
one. What is SJW?
I have no idea. I have no idea what the hell this person's ranting about. But it says, this new female Thor ruins years of history and disrespects even more of actual mythical legends that was used in the character's base character design.
I'm assuming this person hasn't read Frog of Thunder.
Yeah. Doesn't realize... There's no Asgardia over the moon. Like, I'm sorry, we're so far from the source mythology that it doesn't matter at all. Even without all of that, the story lacks any soul, and Lady Thor is incredibly dull. By the way, not Lady Thor, Thor. Like, by saying Lady Thor, not saying this version of Thor or Thor. Exactly. Yeah. Marvel just really needs to stick with their established characters, meaning men, and create new ones if they want to diversify their roster. Like what Titania was saying, like, no, you're not some new alternate version.
Yeah.
You are the real deal, and that matters.
Yeah.
And I know, there was a huge controversy on this comic, and I know it feels like I'm harping on it, but if anybody listening doesn't believe that it's a big deal, they need to know it's a big deal, that this is actually Thor, and not like Lady Thor or Thorina, like...
Right.
It's there and it matters. And especially stuff like this, since we found out we were going to have a girl, matters to me a lot more, too. Like, yeah. I want my daughter to see Thor and think I can be that just as much as anybody else can.
And I don't have to see herself in Thor.
Yeah, and she doesn't have to say, I need to be Lady Thorina. Right. You don't have to be an alternate version. You don't have to be a lesser than. You can be the actual. Yeah. You know? And that's...
empowering.
Yeah, it's necessary. There's something to it that matters, you know? So, okay, the last thing we do in the show is we give it a rating.
Okay.
1 through 5.
I don't know enough to rate it, though.
Just think of it this way. 1 is a comic you feel like you wasted the entire time and you want to go around telling people, don't ever read it.
Okay. Right?
So if you were hanging out with my friends, you would be like, hey, have you read this? And they'll say no. You say don't.
Okay.
A 4 would be one that you would recommend to, like, your fellow nerdy friends. A 5 would be one that you recommend to just the general public.
Mm-hmm.
A 2.5 is totally average.
Mm-hmm.
That's just like, you went along for the ride, you had fun, you didn't feel like you wasted time, but you didn't feel like you didn't feel like it was a great use of your time. Just totally average.
Realistically, for me, I read it. Yeah, I had some challenges reading it, and I had some challenges with the artwork, and I had some challenges with, balance the artwork with the...
with the story?
Yeah, what is...
trying to weigh it?
No, like...
oh, like you were trying to blend, like, you had a hard time matching the two, like, as you're reading them, like...
yeah, like, I had a hard time reading them together. I felt like if I was focusing on the artwork, I couldn't focus on the story.
And if you were reading, you weren't looking at the art.
And then I wasn't looking at the art. Yeah. And I had a bad time, not bad time, but I had a difficult time consolidating the two into one fluid story.
Hmm.
And I don't know if it's because of my inexperience with reading comics, and I don't know if it's because I'm not super comfortable with this kind of storytelling form and medium, but it didn't stop me from wanting to read more.
Okay.
Yeah,
because you were saying you want to read the next one.
I do, and I want to read, I want to find out who Lady Thor is. Not Lady Thor, I'm sorry. I want to find out who the new Thor is.
Yeah.
I want to know what Nick Fury told him.
Yeah. I do, too.
And they hinted that towards the end. I want to know what happens with Odinson and in terms of him getting his hammer back or maybe getting his arm or something. Because
mm-hmm.
I don't believe his arm is gone. Like, gone he's a forever. God. He should be able to get his arm back.
Well... actually, Marvel has printed a future universe, like, thousands of years in the future, what the world looks like. And Thor, of course, because he's eternal, is alive. Mm-hmm. And in this future, he doesn't have an arm.
Oh.
So he might have lost his arm permanently right now.
Oh, interesting.
So he's called King Thor, just like there's King Odin.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't... when he's King Thor in that future timeline, he doesn't have that arm.
So this could be where he lost his arm?
Could be. Don't know for sure, but certainly could be.
I want to know, does Roxxon know that their company is led by a Minotaur? I don't know. Like, do they know?
Obviously, the higher level executives do, but I don't know about the general shareholders. I don't know if the shareholders do. It says CEO, so it's a public traded company.
So, I mean, but do the executives know? Like, I don't know. So I was like, what the hell? And then I also want to know what happens with Freya.
Yeah.
And
Odin.
And Odin and the dynamic there. I want to know what happens with Odin's brother. He looks like a real creep.
Oh, the Cold Borson?
Yeah.
God of Fear.
And then I want to know what horrors Odin has unleashed on Thor.
Oh, the Destroyer?
Well...
The Destroyer was in Thor, the first movie.
Well, again, we're going to have to watch
we'll rewatch these. I know you're fine with it.
Yeah. But I want to know what he's got in Thor for... In Thor.
In Thor for Thor? It's okay. It's almost your bedtime. We're almost done. Bring it home and give me a rating. Bring it home. So what does this all mean? Did you enjoy it? Did you have a good time?
I did. I enjoyed it. I had a good time. I want to read more. So I don't know. Is that a 3 or 4?
You can do 3.5 if you're
I don't know necessarily if I would recommend it. Maybe once I read the whole storyline.
Okay.
I might amend my rating. But okay. Right now I'm at a 3.
Okay.
Maybe 3.5.
Okay.
I like it more than just liked it.
Okay.
But not enough to go posting about it on Facebook.
Okay. Well, don't worry. When this episode comes out, I'm going to post it on your Facebook for you.
Oh, dear.
And share it to your wall.
Oh, dear.
And then your mother can listen to it.
Oh, my God.
She's a patron, you know.
Well, you and I have been cussing a lot, you know.
She's a patron at patreon.com/welcometocomics.
Yeah, that's true.
So, okay. I'm gonna rate this next. I'm going to give this, I'm going to give it a 4. I kind of want to give it a 4.5.
Okay. Why?
You know, I want to give it a 4 because as much as the coloring made things kind of awkward in places, mm-hmm. I really like the character design for Thor in this.
Mm-hmm.
I like there's not like an exposed midriff.
Thank you!
Like there is on so many, like she's wearing pants.
Yes.
Like, okay, this is...
And only skin is on her arms?
She still has the boob plate armor, which is, it's very impractical if you're an armor smith, but she's a god, so what the fuck does she care?
Is she
to a certain point. When she has the Thor hammer, when she has the hammer, she is Thor. She's the power of a god, so if she gets punched in the tit, it's not like...
Well, I mean, it's really protecting her heart.
Yeah. No, but it's...
So...
The shape
maybe
of...
Maybe the backstabbing knife would not have gotten through.
There's a reason that plate was never made that way, even for female knights, because when it curves in like that, if you get hit, it punctures you in your chest.
Ah.
Okay. So that's why it's never sculpted to your breast. It's always... If it is, it's a mound. Just a single, it'd be like a uniboob.
A uniboob.
That's like what it would be like. But that's the only, I think that's the only place that this character design kind of trips. But I like that about this. I like that she looks like a powerful person. And is a woman. And I like that it's Thor. Like, I'm giving it so many points because it does so many of these, quote unquote, PC things right. In a way that doesn't come off as being PC or trying too hard.
I mean, to be fair, she's got a chest plate when Thor doesn't. Thor's just, like, bare-chested.
Yeah, but that's Thor.
He should have a chest plate.
That's the Thor swagger.
Not because I don't want to see the abs, but...
But that I think that comes back down to what we were saying in the very beginning, like how Thor has swagger because he's Thor.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think Thor knows what a t-shirt is.
Well, he does in the movies, unfortunately.
Or whatever. I think he only has one in the movies, though, so that he can take it off and put it on. I think that's the only reason he has it, so you can get that... Yeah, the drool. So, I want to give it a 4.5, but I think I'm only going to give it a 4. Because every single storyline that's in this is loose.
Mm-hmm.
Like, nothing got resolved. Lofty's skull is still out there. We don't know who she is. We don't mm-hmm. We don't know what Nick Fury whispered.
Mm-hmm.
Odin's still pissed. Like, usually when you buy a trade paperback, which is... I mean, we read the singles, but they're selling this as a... This is mm-hmm. volume one. This is a complete story if you buy this. And it's not. I feel like nothing got resolved.
Well, the only thing that really did get resolved is...
Thor giving up the name.
Correct.
Yeah.
Thor coming to terms with the fact that he is no longer Thor. He is just Odinson.
Yeah.
And there is a new Thor.
Yeah. But other than that, it's all kind of just left dangling. And I would like one of those storylines to resolve a little bit.
Well, we did know... The other piece of it that did get resolved was we know that the Minotaur and Malekith are conniving.
Yeah, now they're
and
in cahoots.
And they're scheming.
Yeah.
And
because the Frost
they're
Giants
still
weren't,
scheming.
The Frost Giants weren't a good ally, so Malekith is going to try again.
Right.
Because Malekith's not going to invade Midgard. He doesn't want to declare war.
Get his hands dirty.
He doesn't want to declare war. Yeah. There's no proof that he was ever there.
But if the Frost Giants no longer going for the skull, then Oh, no, that's right, because he's like, the skull.
Well, now the Frost Giants are going to go to war because they believe that Thor, the new Thor, smashed the skull.
Right.
So the Frost Giants have been provoked, and Malekith's
hands are clean. He figures keep Asgard and the Giants busy.
Yeah.
And then we can go about doing whatever we want with Midgard.
It's a real good scheme.
Yeah.
It's kind of more, I don't know. I didn't finish this and feel like, all right, cool. I got a sense of completeness. There's a dangling end here and there, but, you know, things are out. I got none of that. Like, I feel like two more issues probably. Make it the first seven instead of the first five. Maybe. I don't know.
Maybe. We'll see.
And there's nothing wrong with a big, long storyline either. Right. I mean, if it's two issues,
but if it gets too long, I get bored.
Yeah, and if it gets too long, then it's like a 3-hour movie. It's like, come on.
Yeah.
Not everything has to be Lord of the Rings.
Right.
So I'm going to give it a 4.5.
Okay, we went from a 4.5 to a 4 to a 4.5?
No, I'm getting a 4. You're right. Sorry. Okay. No, 4. Okay. Anyway, that's it for this episode.
Okay.
If you want to listen, my wife, listeners. If you want to listen to any of our previous 226 episodes,
woo-hoo,
go to welcometocomics.com. If you want to support the show, go to patreon.com/welcometocomics.
Woo-hoo.
Right now, we have enough patrons to make sure that our bandwidth is paid for the year.
Woo-hoo.
The website is maintaining itself. But if you want us to do anything new, like this last weekend, I met Gene Yang, and I mentioned the podcast, and he said he'd be willing to maybe do an interview.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be amazing, but I need more technical production capability to make that happen. So if you want to get good interviews with cool people on this show, go to patreon.com/welcometocomics, become a patron, and we can do some more cool stuff. That's it for this week. Next week we're going to start a Gotham City Sirens series. So we're going to talk about all the female characters in Gotham.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to start off with Catwoman, the Dark End of the Street, which collects the first 5 or 6 issues, I don't know, of the Ed Brubaker run of Catwoman. After that, we're reading Ivy and Harley. After that, we're reading
Harley Quinn. I might want to go on that one.
Yeah? Maybe. The Catwoman one? And then we're reading Harley Quinn Hot in the City.
Your Sirens.
Yeah, we're doing 4.
Yeah, I might want to get in on that.
Yeah, we're doing 4 different episodes.
I might want to get in on that.
All right, cool.
I'm just saying.
So we're reading Harley Quinn Hot in the City, which is written by Jamie Palmiotti,
mm-hmm,
who I'm pals with, you know. Then we're reading Batman and Huntress,
mm-hmm,
which is a Huntress story, A Cry for Blood.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're reading Black Canary and Zatanna, Bloodspell, written by Paul Dini, I think? Anyway, if you want details for each of those, go to welcometocomics.com. On the left, there's a little link that says Future Shows. You click on that, and under the picture of the comic we're reading, there's a little link that says Amazon. If you click on that, it'll take you to exactly the comic we're going to be reading for that week. So that's how you can find out what we've got coming up.
Sounds good.
Until then, everybody. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Yeah, goodbye.